On the morning of the 31st of January 2020, the United Kingdom formally left the European Union, ending 47 years of membership. That single date rewired the legal architecture of an entire economy. Here is the counterintuitive part. The UK gained enormous formal power that day. The power to set its own trade policy, write its own regulations, control its own borders, and yet, in real terms, UK goods exports to the EU in 2024 were 18% below their 2019 level. More sovereignty, less trade. That tension is the central puzzle of post-Brexit Britain, and it has a name, the sovereignty friction framework. Think of sovereignty like a currency. You can hoard it, or you can spend it strategically. The UK's exit from the EU single market and customs union gave Westminster full legislative independence. But independence is not the same as influence. The EU-UK Trade and Cooperation Agreement, provisionally applied from the 1st of January 2021, delivered tariff-free and quota-free goods trade, on paper, a remarkable outcome. The catch is non-tariff barriers. Customs procedures, regulatory checks, border documentation, these are the hidden tax on independence. They do not show up as a line item on an invoice. They show up as delays at Dover, as compliance teams hired in Dublin instead of London, as exporters quietly rerouting supply chains. The OECD estimated that, compared with remaining in the EU single market, a comprehensive UK-EU free trade agreement could reduce UK exports by roughly 6.1% and imports by about 7.8% in the medium term, with an output loss of around 3.5%. That is the price of regulatory divergence. It is real, it is measurable, and it is not going away. Now, the UK's response to this friction has been to pivot toward the Indo-Pacific, toward new bilateral deals. The UK signed its first from-scratch bilateral free trade agreements with Australia and New Zealand. It joined the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, formally expanding its trade links with the Asia-Pacific region. As of August 2026, the UK has signed agreements with 74 countries and territories plus the EU. That sounds impressive, but here is where the gravity model of trade becomes uncomfortable. Gravity models show that trade volume correlates strongly with geographic proximity and economic mass. The EU, right next door, accounted for 41% of UK goods and services exports in 2024, worth £358 billion. The EU supplied 51% of UK imports, worth £454 billion. No distant trade agreement, however well crafted, can replicate the gravitational pull of a market that large, that close. The Indo-Pacific pivot is real and valuable, Alina, but it is a supplement, not a substitute. The more interesting question is what the UK does with its regulatory freedom. The 2021 Integrated Review identified science and technology as a source of strategic advantage. That is not just rhetoric. Outside the EU's regulatory orbit, the UK can move faster on emerging technologies, artificial intelligence, genomics, financial innovation. For example, a country that positions itself as a regulatory sandbox for AI could attract global capital and talent precisely because it offers a different set of rules. Services exports to the EU actually grew, up 19% in real terms, by 2024 compared to 2019, partly because the UK's financial and professional services sector adapted and found new footholds. The key idea here is that sovereignty over regulation is only valuable if it is deployed deliberately, not just defended symbolically. The government's integrated review framed global Britain as a combination of openness, international engagement, and the protection of democratic values, not as a retreat inward, but as a conversion of existing capabilities into new forms of influence. The takeaway is this: sovereignty is not a trophy. It is a strategic asset with a cost of carry. The UK spent 47 years pooling sovereignty inside the EU to gain frictionless market access. It withdrew that pooling on the 31st of January 2020 and immediately began paying the friction bill. The smart play, the one the integrated review gestures toward, is to re-spend that sovereignty selectively. Alina, the countries that win in a fragmented global order are not the ones that hoard independence. They are the ones that know exactly what to trade it for. Britain's challenge and its opportunity is figuring out that exchange rate before the window closes.